Father God, this morning, we want to do your will, what you have called us to do. That is, I thank God for his blessing and another opportunity to share the word of God. Thank the Reader River Missionary Baptist Church leadership for another opportunity to stand at this sacred space. Thank you, praise team, for singing the Psalms of Zion, and the musicians for great music. We are grateful for Chris and his audio visual ministry. Also, I thank my brothers and sisters in Christ who served with me in the ministry. Let us go to the throne of grace. Father, I thank you for another day and your grace to preach the word of God. Holy Spirit, I welcome your help. Guide and lead me as I deliver your word in Jesus' name. Amen. The text this morning is lifted from Mark, the 8th chapter, 22nd through the 26th verses. The King James, New King James. Then he comes to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man to him and beg him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, "I see men like trees walking." Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town." I'm going to tag this text today as needing a second touch. Needing a second touch. Brothers and sisters, our text today presents to us at the hand of Mark, whose literary style gives us hints regarding the life of Jesus. Mark would provide us with minor technical details that the other gospel writers would overlook. It was Mark who told us when that storm arose in the Sea of Galilee that Jesus was below deck sleeping on a pillow. The other gospel writers just let us know that Jesus was below deck. Mark was a technician of a sort. He was very meticulous in his approach to the gospel, the good news. Mark did not waste words. He took a few chapters to tell what other writers took many chapters to tell, because each of Mark's words was packed with meaning. He said the same thing the other gospel writers said, but in a compact way. Jesus knew what he was going to be confronted with when he arrived at Bethsaida. So he prepared his disciples who was going with him. And it said, before our text today, Jesus and his disciples had just fed 4,000 people miraculously with 7 loaves and a few small fishes. The people had been with Jesus 3 days and had not eating anything. After the people were fed, Jesus sent them away. At the same time, the disciples picked up 7 baskets full of leftover broken pieces. Jesus and his disciples got into a boat. They traveled to the northwestern shore of Galilee, where they met the Pharisees. The Pharisees were expecting Jesus to perform a miracle from heaven. He denied them their request, since they disregarded the miracles he previously performed. Jesus warned his disciples not to act like the Pharisees. As they got into the boat again, Jesus said to the disciples in Mark 8:19, "When I broke the 5 loaves for 5,000, how many basketful of fragments did you take up?" They said 12, meaning governmental perfection. He said in Mark 8:20, "When I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many baskets or fragments did you take up?" They said 7, meaning completion, spiritual completion. 12 plus 7 equals 19, which is the word for faith. And that's where they was going, to institute faith. Jesus said in Mark 21, "How is it that you do not understand? Are we like the Pharisees and the disciples who did not remember or understand that Christ is our sufficiency? How we forget what Jesus did for us yesterday? Sometimes we forget to say thank you for today's blessings while we beg God to do more for us." That reminds me, for some of my friends back in Greer, where I grew up, they would come and borrow my money. They said, "Let me borrow this until payday." But payday never came, because they would come back and want to borrow some more without having paid what they borrowed the first time. All right. So in our text today, Mark is the only gospel writer who gives us an account of Jesus and his disciples arriving at Bethsaida. Bethsaida is the original hometown of Andrew, Peter, and Philip. It was located on the plains east and north where the Jordan River enters the Sea of Galilee. It was in Bethsaida that the people brought a blind man to Jesus. Jesus previously warned his disciples about having eyes and could not see. And now they are before a blind man who has no sight. The disciples lacked spiritual sight, while the blind man lacked physical and spiritual sight. Since the blind man's friend thought enough of him to bring him to Jesus, Jesus proceeded to help the blind man regain his physical and spiritual sight. The blind man did not ask Jesus to heal him. His friends brought him to Jesus. Jesus took the blind man by the hand, led him out of town, away from his friends and the city. Taking the hand is expressive of fellowship and helpfulness. Fellowship, Holy Spirit, is our uniter. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A, koinonia. Koinonia can also be translated as partnership, which is a supernatural grace that causes Christian brothers and sisters to love one another deeply. When we shake hands with each other, the act demonstrates to be helpful. Shake my hand, that's a covenant to be helpful. Jesus led the blind man away from the persons who brought him. Sometimes you have to get away from folk. There are times when our friends' faith is not enough for us. The faith that the people had bringing the blind man to Jesus must be kindled in the blind man. Our lack of low faith does not limit Jesus. He can heal without faith, but his miracles were performed to assist the person's faith in the miraculous work of Jesus. We have to get along with Jesus and increase our faith. Jesus took the blind man out of the town to perform the miracle, gradually increasing the man's faith. Jesus spit on the blind man's eyes and put his hands on him, asking if he saw anything. Jesus' humanity was expressed in his intimate and loving care for the blind. I have a problem with Jesus asking the blind man whether or not he saw anything. Okay? Because Jesus is omnipotent. Okay? Omniscient. He knows everything. All right? He was not asking him for a response, only his attention. He had to get his attention. Jesus spits on the blind man's eyes and put his hands on him, asking him whether he saw anything. Humanity expressed in his intimate and loving care for the blind man, Jesus would not allow what he intended to do for the blind man to be seen and known by the crowd. He would not let them see it. And he took him to seclusion and a secret place, right? Spiritually, Jesus wanted the blind man to have a private and intimate time with him so that he could infuse him with the faith by which his sight could be recovered. Brothers and sisters, all who are spiritually blind need such a time with Jesus. Let me say that again. All who are spiritually blind need such a time with Jesus. Jesus identified himself with the blind man to transfuse a faith healing into him. The blind man saw men like trees walking, which means that he previously had sight to know that he saw men like trees. The statement suggests that the man had not been blind, born blind. If he had been born blind, he would not know what trees look like. All right? There was vision through limited, though limited, from the first touch. People who have limited vision must learn to walk by faith before reason receiving a vision. Vision does no good without faith. We have to learn to walk in the dark times when there is no vision. Jesus touched the blind man again the second time. Jesus put his hands on him, his eyes again, and made him look up. That's where I have a problem. I thought we had free will. But he made this man look up. I recall when Jesus was feeding the 5,000. He took the 5 loaves. He looked up. He blessed. He broke and gave it to his disciples to set before the 5,000 men. Not including women and children. Okay? Before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he also looked up. Right? Looking heavenly. Give God the glory. That's what we should do. When we pray, look up. Because Jesus said to look up. Looking heavenly glorifies the Lord. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. My brothers and sisters, if the first touch gave the man sight or vision, then the second touch gave him insight or focus. He needed focus. The first touch from the spit worked. That was the process. But you need to focus. Right? When Jesus touches us the first time, he reveals his plan through assigning us. But the second time that he touches us, he reveals his purpose for our life. He confirms us for the work of ministry. Jesus' work in our life is continuous. It does not happen immediately. Many times we are healed in stages. Many times the miracle is the process. Our faith grows from one stage to the other. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Go to your house may mean that there was no vision where the blind man had been. He needed a vision for where a vision and focus for where he was going. It is essential to know that Jesus' actions are significant. I ask a question. Why did Jesus tell him, send him home, number one, and tell him not to go back into the town? And when the Holy Spirit said, go to Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 21st and 22nd verses. All right? He abandoned, I went there. He said, he abandoned Bethsaida to judgment in Matthew 11, 21, 22. He would neither heal in that village nor permit further testimony to be done there. Verse 21 says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, It will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. The probation period of Bethsaida as a community was ended. Jesus still showed mercy to individuals. Brothers and sisters, we do not need a vision for where we have been, but we need a vision for where we are going. Our vision and focus need restoring so that we move in the direction God has called us. He has called us to move forward in peace, joy, right standing, praise, and love. When we move forward, we all may need a second touch. When we move forward, we all may need a second touch. Right?